Well, we just had a conversation about the developments in Egypt and compared them with what's going on in Libya. And certainly more of Louis Story's job recently has been covering these international developments, perhaps than ever before. Louis Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. And Louis, we seem to keep talking to you about the volatility of the markets caused by international events.
You know, and it's interesting. It reminds me of the contrast with the 1990s, because remember back then, there was the Russian debt crisis. There was a crisis in Argentina, Thailand. We had all these international problems where sovereigns couldn't pay their debt, and they were pretty scary, and the World Bank was involved, and they did affect the U.S., but not to this degree. And the difference is, back then, the U.S. economy was roaring. It was strong. And so there wasn't this nervous energy in the markets that could just be tipped by anything. Now the economy here is so weak. And in addition, we're so much more globally reliant. This is a new era for U.S. markets where what happens everywhere really affects us here in the U.S.
Although, if you want to get out from under this, go to Brazil. It's not affecting Brazil.
Well, I mean, Brazil's economy is very strong, but I mean, these things are turning on a dime, as you know, in these international events, you know, so.
Well, and people are afraid that the U.S. economy could turn on a dime, that we're in a recovery, but it's fragile. And I'm wondering if the fragility of the economy is kind of reflected by what's going on in housing. We're expecting new data released earlier in the week showed that previously owned homes, the sales of them dropped by a very large amount, almost 10%. That's the opposite direction of our economy, and I'm not sure how that works.
Well, the housing market has not been recovering. You know, the rest of the economy shows some signs, but the housing market, this is, of course, you know, where the crisis started. We've been talking about dismal housing numbers for 4 years, and they continue. So the numbers that came out this week showed that existing home sales, so the volume of home sales in February, dropped 9.6% from January. So a lot fewer. And prices, also data on that that just came out this week, showed prices dropping 3.9%. So these are, it's just down, big numbers. Now, there's a lot of factors at work here. So also in the data, you saw that foreclosures are at record highs. And so that means there's more inventory. All this inventory is coming in. And so the prices can't keep up with all this extra inventory is driving prices down. One thing I thought was interesting in the numbers is that last month, nearly 40% of all sales were bought out of foreclosure or short sales.
40%.
Wow. Almost half. And that compares, you know, in all of last year, it was only 4%. So now almost half of all sales are that.
And those are like cash sales out of foreclosure.
They're mostly.
So the availability of credit is also a huge constraint.
A third of all sales were cash sales last
month.
That's
amazing. You know, but let me ask you, is this necessarily, I mean, a bad thing in the long term? I mean, when we went into this entire crisis, when the housing market crashed, there was a lot of discussions about whether using your home as your sort of wealth, whether the universal home ownership of the part of the American dream was really a good thing economically. So maybe this is a natural adjustment.
This may just be the cleansing. And when you see so many of these houses being bought out of foreclosure, it does speak to, okay, something's changing in the nature. What I find most interesting is watching the way that different economists are couching this. So some of the most negative ones, you know, are saying, okay, these housing prices are going to be going down until 2013. But then the chief economist for the National Association of Realtors, so, you know, they tend to be a little more positive about real estate.
Sure. Yeah,
the way he phrases it is, he says, you know, this is all about housing affordability. So not prices are so low and this is terrible, but houses are affordable now. And there is some truth to that, because the median price now, you know, the middle price now is $156,000. It's much lower than where we started this. So we're ratcheting down housing as a cost of our budgets.
But we're not necessarily ratcheting up the availability of credit. I mean, it's harder for people to get these mortgages than perhaps in years.
That's right. And that's really also because, you know, people's finances are not in as good of shape. You know, it's been a hard toll on a lot of people. Have had unemployed people and their family, and they're working through debt. Banks do have mortgages available. The interest rates are very low, but you've got to go in with pristine credit. And there just aren't so many people out there with pristine credit.
Yeah. All right. So let's put this housing information into the entire economic atmosphere right here. If the economy is recovering at a slow but regular clip, but housing seems to be doing worse and worse, arguably, does that mean that we are headed for a sort of economic stumble here?
So, you know, there was a survey that came out from Macro Markets. It's a big firm this week that you've got a lot of economists expecting a double dip in housing that's going up. And the question is, can that happen? And nonetheless, can we see an economic recovery?
Right.
I mean, traditionally, you know, the economy is very tied to housing. But what you could be seeing this time around is you could be seeing people who were just holding out, not selling their homes because they didn't want to swallow that loss in price, just accepting it and moving on. So you could, this could be, our, you know, our economy, homeowners out there moving on a little. You needed to sell that second home. You didn't want to take the loss, or you needed to move. You didn't want to sell your home. And people are just taking the loss now and moving on. And that could be very cleansing for the economy. And we're only going to know, you know, a few months out how this ties in.
And does it change? Does the news change from the housing market when you divide it other ways, when you look at new construction, when you look at other? No, you're shaking your head. And
I'm shaking my head because we are not in a positive upward price housing market any way you cut it now. And this does tie to the whole economy, the global economy. You know, if we keep seeing oil prices, which we talked about yesterday, if we keep seeing oil prices go up and so on, that affects housing because, you know, if people buy a house and they want to renovate it or so on, all of the costs are affected by energy costs. So watch housing. It's out of the news because of the international events, but it's really what's driving what a lot of Americans are feeling about their wealth right now.
40% of people were bought out of foreclosure in the transactions last month. That's evidence that some people are moving on.
People are moving on. People are moving on. But the question is, how many people have to move on? How long will this move on phase
take? And what do they have
take?
In their pockets?
And what
when
do they
do
have
move?
Afterwards? Yeah. You know, and will they all become renters? I mean, I think we're also going to see a real shift in
renters or landlords.
Renters and, you know, more renters, fewer homeowners.
Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.